The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 34 of MMA The Max. I am your host, the always entertaining, excruciatingly handsome Robert Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my always incompetent, excruciatingly dull co-host, Joseph Hudson, a.k.a. Riverside Joe. How you doing today, Joe?
Hey, you can fuck yourself, buddy, but I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I don't want to spice up this conversation with anything. Keep it nice and dull and fuck it. Well, at least tonight's... this morning's fights weren't fucking dull. They were good.
They were really good. They were all right. They were decent. I mean, there were some bombs. There were some duds on the card. But for the most part, I was pretty entertained. Quite frankly, it was upset central tonight for a lot of these fights, a lot of these prospects and contenders, champions. But yeah, man, it was good. It's just usually there's always something to talk about when it comes to these fights that are underpromoted on Fight Pass or something, the cards that people aren't looking forward to. So unfortunately, we didn't get to see a couple fights that got canceled within the last week or so, or even in the terms of one fight this morning. Before we get into that, though, let's what it is. You know what time it is, Joseph.
What time?
What time is it? It's a new week. It's a new drink. What are you drinking this week?
I am drinking the good old Lost Coast Downtown Brown.
Ooh, classic.
It's a good, nice brown ale. It's, if you're going to go for a brown ale, to me, it's better than a Newcastle. It's pretty good. It's got some chocolate caramel malt in it from England.
I was
American
say,
barley malt.
A Newcastle's not exactly setting the bar or anything, but...
No, but when you tell people you're going to drink a brown ale, they're like, oh, like Newcastle? Like, no.
That's I a mean, fair Newcastle, point.
Yeah, this is a real ale. It's one I used to drink in my early 20s back when I was, you know, just trying to get into a little bit more crafty type beers, and it's a good one, so it's a nice throwback for me.
Yeah, your early 20s back when you had to walk to school in the snow barefoot uphill both ways?
No, I had a car.
Oh, okay.
I cranked it up in the front. Like, I'm fucking old, dude. I'm only, like, what, 6 years older than you?
If that, yeah. So, and real quick, by the way, if anybody's noticing, I'm having some lag issues with my camera. Couldn't fix it. If you're noticing on the video while watching, sorry, deal with it. It's like a one-time thing. My bad. So.
Yeah, your camera is basically firing on the same speed as your neurons right now.
Burn! Damn, that was good. That was quick. That, like, just popped right off, man. That was quick.
That dull comic got me fired up,
I liked
dude.
It. I liked it. It was clever, man. Yeah. It was clever. It was quick. If I was your wife, I'd be used to you being quick, but
yes,
I'm just your cousin. So, hey, that was clever though. How's it working out for you?
It worked out well. I'm proud of myself. Well,
keep it up then.
What the fuck are you drinking?
What am I drinking?
What you drinking?
This has been a beer of the week before, I believe. This is the Ballast Point Victory SC Coffee and Vanilla Porter. It is fantastic. If you are a fan of Porter, dark beers, anything like that, fan of the Ballast Point, brand, out of Ballast Point, San Diego, California, then you definitely want to pick it up. I first found it through a guy in the MMA podcast circle, Blake Stevens, at Loaded Joe's MMA. He talked about it being one of the best porters he's ever had, and you know, when somebody says that, you kind of got to call the check on that one, be like, okay, let me check it out. And yeah, he wasn't lying. Definitely wasn't lying.
So, yeah, when someone whose podcast is Loaded Joe and they're telling you it's the best of something they've ever had, you're going to have to take their word and give it a try.
Yeah, and he was absolutely 100% correct. It is really one of the best I've ever had. It's not the best, but it is one of the best. So,
yeah, that's good, though. I mean, at least he's got that part right. It is delicious and tasty.
Absolutely. Geez, man. So UFC London today came to us from, obviously, on Fight Pass at about 11 o'clock in the morning for the first fight, for the tip-off. I'll take that back, actually. It wasn't the first fight. It was from the start of the Fight Pass event. They had to kill some time because the first fight got canceled.
Yes.
Not going to try to go back and say their names or anything like that, but it sucks because one dude was making his debut on a week's notice, made the weight, cut the weight and everything, only to get the fight canceled because of the other fighter. It sucks. Yeah. It's a shame. I hope they get money. Judging by of what has been happening so far lately, he probably won't. So,
and that's bullshit because he's done nothing wrong. He made weight, and it wasn't like he was offered, okay, we'll get the fight at a catch weight.
Well, see,
here's
the problem, though.
He said no, like with Dodson.
He didn't make weight. He was on weight, right? No, he did make weight.
True.
No, he did,
make weight.
Yeah, you're right. So he will get paid. They both made weight. So yeah, he should get paid, and I hope
he
does.
Get paid his show money.
At least, at least.
Something happened when one of the guys was trying to build his weight back up, and he was deemed medically unfit to continue. That's, I mean, you make weight, dude. That's what your show should be. Your show should be you show up, make weight, you've showed.
Yeah, and honestly, it's neither guy's fault. It's neither guy's fault, really, to be honest, because Nad Nariman is the guy that got kind of screwed in this fight. He was supposed to fight I'm gonna get this name wrong, probably Nazareth Hakparast, who was the he was the guy who got scratched last minute from an infectious eye condition. So,
yep.
It's unfortunate. Another fight that got canceled was Hakparast was supposed to fight Alex Reyes, he who
was
last seen getting
fight.
Beaten by Mike Perry on 3 days' notice, jumping up in weight class, local guy and all that. I was really excited for it. It sucks he didn't get to fight, but you know. The show goes on, right? We still had a good 10 fights.
Yeah, it's a good 10 fight. And again, I liked the pacing of the Fight Pass shows simply because there's no need to fill in for commercials and do this, that, and the other. So it's a good quick event. Even with 10 fights on it, there wasn't too much filler.
Which used to be better because they would just go from fight to fight to fight. Now they kind of go off of like, okay, the main card starts at 2.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it doesn't matter. You're going to wait till 2. So, I mean, the
pacing. Yeah, they'll stretch it a bit.
They'll stretch it a bit, but.
But if they had those other two fights in there, then the pacing would have been perfect. I think they did more stretching because they were, you know, 30 minutes off because of two fights being canceled.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, the pacing's going to. When you get two fights canceled, especially one canceled at the exact, you know, day of the fight that morning,
yeah
your pacing's going to be off. You're already set to go. People are, you know, most people that are going to the event probably aren't checking their phones, to be honest. They're already drinking beer, hanging out. So,
they're there already.
Yeah, you got to announce it to the live crowd. Let's change things up real quick, though, talking about these fights. Let's not just run down the card.
Right.
Let's do something different. We'll talk about the fights that won bonuses first.
Boom.
I like that. Let's start with the main event, which coincidentally got a bonus for performance of the night for the winner of tonight's main event. Alexander Volkov, former Bellator heavyweight champion, surviving some pretty legit ground and pound and just being on his back against world-class jiu-jitsu ace Fabricio Werdum, former heavyweight champion in the UFC, you know, not showing any takedown defense whatsoever in the very beginning of the fight. And it was basically looking like it was going to be a wash for the longest time. And then just like third round comes up. He gets that slicing elbow. I mean, he rocked Werdum. He rocked Werdum at first, which caused Werdum to go for a sloppy takedown, which he still got. And he just gets this slicing elbow on Werdum. Busts him up. From there, the fight just changed.
I think it was that right eye swelling up on Werdum.
That
started
to
swell up. Yeah, I think he started to get a little desperate. Like, crap, maybe his vision started to go. And he's like, dude, I need to finish this. I've got one eye. It's not going to... I'm going to get a doctor stoppage on this. I got to go for broke. What I was really impressed with was Volkov's ability to not allow Werdum to capitalize on the scrambles. And that's exactly what I mean by that. Not allow Werdum to capitalize. Werdum was creating scrambles in his takedowns, going for awkward sweeps, trying to slip through the back door and, you know, do all sorts of weird different sweeps. And Volkov didn't allow Werdum to capitalize. He got there a couple times, but he always managed to stayed one step close enough to Werdum to where he could, boom, get out and let him up and keep moving. That's what surprised me. And I was really happy to see that for Volkov.
Yeah, a couple of the scrambles were really sloppy, especially in the second round when Verdum used the sweep and the reverse to take his back. I get Verdum is a world class black belt in jiu-jitsu, but with how loose he was on him and how how much room Volkov had, there was absolutely no excuse for Volkov to allow him to take that back on that sweep and reverse. But here's something that I was talking to a friend about. I was telling him we were watching the fights together.
You have a friend?
Yeah, maybe one or two. I don't know.
Oh,
they cost a lot of money. Okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
But Verdum, when he took him down, he was in his guard. He was using, you know, the classic guard breaking form of the can crusher, right?
Yeah, can opener.
Can opener. Sorry, not crusher. Can opener. To basically pull him back on, pulling forward like back on the neck, to kind of crush it like that to get you to kind of break your guard. But I was telling my friend, I was like, this isn't going to work with somebody like Volkov because his legs are so long that it's just not going to work. It's not going to affect him the same way. And I think that's what kind of hurt Verdum when he was on the ground. He couldn't get him to break that guard.
Yeah, he couldn't break his guard. He couldn't use it to get any kind of separation or anything like that, either to step his knee through the middle, overstep, or push a leg down and step over. Yeah, Volkov did a really good job with his closed guard. You haven't seen successful closed guards in MMA in a while, but he did a good job of preventing Verdum from posturing up too much. Because he's so tall and long, if Verdum tried to posture up, he'd push him out and you couldn't hit his chin because it was just too much distance. Verdum would lay down, go for the can opener, try to get it to open up, and Volkov didn't care. Yeah, it was a good fight for Volkov, man.
It was a changing in the guard. I mean, another young gun in the heavyweight division, like a Francis Ngannou, another young gun, you know, breaking through, and it's very possible that we could be looking at a future title contender here, like a challenger to winner of Stipe versus Cormier, because he just took out Fabricio Verdum, who in his last like run since winning the title and all that was only finished by current champ Stipe Miocic. He went to that decision with Alistair Overeem, but this is a fight that Verdum was supposed to win, in a sense that, you know, this is what he's been doing, taking out contenders, people, or rising stars, I should say, prospects like the Walt Harris or Marcin Tybura. Volkov takes him out, and it makes me really excited because, for one, we have another fight coming up later on this year in Chicago between another heavyweight mainstay and a up-and-coming prospect and contender in Overeem versus Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah, that's changing of the guard, my man. Blaydes is going to take that fight, I think.
Yeah, as I believe he will too. Dan Hardy said on the broadcast after the fight that he would love to see Volkov versus Francis Ngannou, and I'm going to disagree with that because I want to see Volkov fight the winner of Overeem versus Blaydes. Ngannou needs to fight Cain Velasquez, in my mind. So that's my thinking on that. The winner of Volkov versus the winner of Blaydes and Overeem. No, it's cool. Answer your text message. It's cool. You know, I'm just talking. It's fine.
Turning it on silent, bro. That's all I'm doing.
I like the idea of Volkov versus the winner of Overeem versus a Blaydes better than putting him up against Ngannou, because I think Ngannou needs a wrestler to test himself next time.
Ngannou needs a wrestler to get his ass beat again. What's going to happen? He has no takedown defense.
Most likely. Well, neither does Volkov, but it still worked out for him.
That's it. Well, yeah, it worked out because Verdum had a strategy that didn't pan out for him. But
that's true.
Again, if Volkov tries to trade with Ngannou, whose reach, even though he's shorter, isn't much less. You know, he's got some long arms. I don't know what Ngannou's reach is, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty gosh dang long. But I don't want to fucking
gosh
cuss.
Dang. That's as bad as the people that say fucking A.
Fucking A.
What's wrong with saying ass?
I have no idea. I noticed that last week's episode I said something when I didn't curse when I probably normally do. Okay,
you're
so
becoming
he's got
too much of a daddy here, man.
Yeah, exactly. I should be. I
don't be the daddy of the show. Don't be the daddy of the show.
Okay, watch the language now. So Ngannou,
Cap uses a swear word.
83-inch reach for Ngannou.
Oh, he's got 3 inches on Volkov.
Yeah, right. And he's shorter. He's shorter by
Volkov's
3 inches.
Taller, yeah. So it washes out. It's a wash.
Yeah. So where Volkov might want to be able to use his distance and range, he's going to be deceptively within striking range of someone like Ngannou, where he wouldn't, again, you know, another 6'4" guy who's going to be able to get into that range. So I don't like that fight for Volkov. I see him going to sleep against Ngannou right now. I think he needs to work on his defense and his takedown ability. He needs to become more well-rounded.
I don't like the fight either. That's why I want him versus the winner of Overeem versus Blades.
Yeah, I think he loses to Blades. I think he can beat Overeem.
I think he could beat Blades too, be honest. I mean, I think he could. I mean, if he could stay on the outside, use his reach, use his angles and footwork.
What? We didn't see much of that tonight, though. But I think
you know Blades... Actually, you know what we did? You want to know who we saw it from tonight?
Oh, I was talking about from Volkov, but we did see it.
We did see it tonight from Jan Blachowicz.
Yeah, from a light heavyweight using beautiful angles, distance.
Seriously.
That jab of his was so perfect in upsetting Manawal.
Impressive. I mean, if Jan had a gas tank better than what he has, that fight would have been over a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be...
He kept up a pace, man.
I mean,
he kept up a good pace.
It was all heart and will towards the end because he was breathing heavy, man. His chest was heaving, but he managed to pull it out. He almost had it finished in the first round. One of the judges gave it 30-27, and I completely disagree because there's no way that Manawal didn't win the second round.
Yeah, Manawal was touching him up. Easily. Yes, yeah, Manawal hurt him in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know
when we talked about it before, distance management isn't simply keeping a distance.
Yeah.
It's about fighting where you want the fight to come. When Manawal would come in with those leaping left hooks, this is where Blachowicz would use distance, closing the distance, go in for that power double. Whether he got it or not, it was enough to tie Manawal up, get it to a scramble, get it to a stand-up, be able to push off or work for a takedown. Again, he managed the distance. The fight took place at a distance that Blachowicz wanted. Distance management. It's fucking beautiful.
And it was an eye-opening performance for Blachowicz because he was basically... You know, everybody was willing him to come to the UFC. He had a hell of a streak, outside of the UFC. Mm-hmm. And the Across the Seas fans were saying, yeah, get him in the UFC. He deserves to be in there. He showed up. He just kind of lingered, you know. It was just, oh, yeah, you're here. You were kind of overrated out there.
It was like, oh, he made it, so he was done. Like, no, you didn't make it yet.
And now, all of a sudden, he's on a 3-fight win streak in the very depleted light heavyweight division. And he just took out the number 4 ranked. Whether he should have been ranked number 4 or not, that's another question.
That's a whole.
Then again, it's a lack of who you're gonna rank, but he just he took him out, and it was a very clear decision to me.
Easy. It was easy. 29-28.
I mean,
first third round was way. It was close to being a 10-8 round as you can get in that third round, I think, dude.
He came close to finishing him twice, and with London being under the new unified rules, I'm surprised it wasn't scored a 10-8 round.
Yeah, it was close. In my mind, it was close to a 10-8, but I could see it going 10-9, especially since he's already won 2 out of the 3 rounds at this point unless he gets knocked out.
Here's the reason why I would score that a 10-8 round in the first round for me is because let's just look at it this way. If Jan had that round in the first round like he did, right? Almost finishing him twice on 2 occasions. And then the next 2 rounds, Manawa just does nothing, takes him down, holds him there, does nothing, doesn't come close to finishing him, wins the next 2 rounds, and he wins the fight 29-28.
That's a good point.
That's the reason why they changed the new, the judging criteria to value damage and stuff like that. And when you come close to winning a fight or finishing a fight, then that's when you scored a 10-8 under new rules. So that's why I would score that around a 10-8,
Yeah, and I think Manawa's nose is completely shattered.
I think his chin's shattered, man. Oh. He's a good fighter. You put this 2008, dude, he's not making the top 10 of the 205 division, that's for sure.
No. No, well, the thing is he and Hardy was bringing it out too. He's resting on that left hook, that power left hook, and he's throwing everything into it. And that's what Blachowicz was timing for his double leg.
Yeah.
He needs to work on off tempo, off timing, off rhythm jab.
Dude.
He's always doing everything with so much power, so much wind up, where Blachowicz was like just straight off the shoulder quick, wasn't trying to knock him out, just disrupt his rhythm enough. And then every time you're winding up for the punches against a guy who's quick and smart, pops off that quick jab, And that's how he dominated the fight.
Yeah.
Was basically off time, off time, off time. And then he'd get that and pepper, pepper, boom, 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 throw that big uppercut. And that's what rocked him.
Yeah.
And step in.
And you know uppercut. What and you know what Manawa's problem is too, also, is he's got like the Andre Arlovski bad habit of backing mm-hmm. straight up with your chin in the air when you get hit or hurt. That's what got him dropped. He got hurt and he
Rockhold.
Yeah. And he bet well. I don't know. I think Manawa at least keeps his hand up. But no, but like Arlovski, like Brett Rogers, you know, Sergey Karatanov, all these people, these other fighters mm-hmm. that were knocking him out, you know, back in his like really down days, even when he fought Stipe and Stipe cracked him, he just kept his chin wide up and took a yeah. bunch. It's just these fighters, and I'm not a fighter, obviously, but I can watch and see, and I know what you need to do. You need to angle out
yep.
and circle. But no, like Manawa, just like Arlovski, has this issue where when he gets hit, that he just backs straight up, chin up in the air. And
mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the chin to take that. He really doesn't. I'm sorry. So
no. I'm surprised he didn't. Yeah, I give him credit. He didn't get put to sleep. I mean,
yeah.
Blanco would hit him with everything but the kitchen sink, man. So I give him credit for that. But yeah, he's got good boxing hands, but he just thinks his hands are the most powerful hands out there, and he throws them with reckless abandon.
You think he would have learned after Volkan Ozdemir? Put him
yeah,
asleep,
versus but... the Ozdemir fight. Yeah, exactly. He came in throwing all these power hooks and everything. Had he not gotten knocked out there, what gas would he have left in his tank against a guy who's a pace guy, who's got a rhythm, who's got distance? He would have been KO'd by his own gas tank if he didn't get knocked out by Ozdemir, you know?
No, that's right. No, 100% he's correct.
I can say what he's got to do, what he should do. I'm sitting in my chair, but I'm just telling you from my position – That's what I would do.
This is MMA to the max, all right? What people don't know is that we're also known as, armchair quarterbacks for, MMA. That's the other name of the show. Like, we will sit here on our couches all day long and say what you mm-hmm. should have done. But what we won't do is get in there and do it.
Fuck no. No. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're not. We may be stupid, but we're not stupid.
We may be stupid, but we're not dumb.
That's right.
Fight of the night right there, man.
So yes, they won so fight of the night, good. Deservedly so. If you would have asked me before this show started what was going to be fight of the night, was not going to be this fight. That's for damn sure.
No,
I was actually dreading this one.
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to be a bit of a sleeper with Błachowicz just trying to dirty box the whole time.
Yeah, it was going
to
be bad.
No, he clean boxed the whole time.
It was impressive. Beautiful. It was very impressive. The second performance of the night went to, I'm not sure if I would have given it to him. I would have preferred to give it to at least two other people personally, but I see why they gave it to him.
Sure.
Paul Craig with the Aaron Rodgers triangle choke.
Aaron Rodgers? Why is it Aaron Rodgers? Last second, literally?
Yeah, last second Hail Mary. This is for anybody that watches football and knows the Packers and knows Aaron Rodgers. This is what Aaron Rodgers is known for in the NFL, and this is exactly what Paul Craig just pretty much did. He got his ass beat for 3 minutes and – or for three – what? Fucking – how do I say it? I'm sorry. Fucking 14 minutes, 59 seconds.
14 minutes, 59 seconds.
Sorry.
He got his ass – first round, the second round, and nearly the third round.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 4:59. I can't read.
4:59.
Yeah. Hey man, this is maybe you should be the host today. I'm gonna go sit around, Anyways,
and incompetent over here.
Okay, we'll just leave the dull part, the incompetent part. I'll take back. I'm sorry. Okay.
All right.
14 minutes and 59 seconds of this fight, Paul Craig got the fucking shit kicked out of him.
Yes, he did badly, as was expected.
Yeah, as was expected. There's a reason Ankalaev was a -700 favorite.
That fight was going exactly how everyone expected.
Exactly how everyone expected. And Paul Craig's like, fuck it. Why not try this?
And I heard the 10-second clap. I figure I'll just throw up a triangle and see what happens. Oh, I win the fight.
Yeah, I throw up the triangle. Wait, he taps with the second. I was like, there's no way he's going to tap. Yeah, I was like, oh, he got the triangle, man. Hey, good attempt. Wait, what?
Yeah. It almost seemed like he kind of tapped and then like, wait, there's only 10 seconds, but he tapped and he saw it.
He tapped
like,
and he's like, what?
Gone out.
Oh my God. Yeah, so
should have gone out. And
I'm a Loudmouth MMA, another podcast, like posted on Twitter about like, hey, congratulations, Andre Sukumtov. Magomed Ankalov took some pressure off of you.
Oh no, dude.
So credit where credit's due to him. That was great.
Yeah, he is now the dumbest fighter in MMA. Sukumtov, you don't worry, that crown has been taken off of your head.
Oh man, or at least shared. Oh my, I couldn't believe it. Dude.
That was depressing. It was such a good fight. I was so excited. I had two fights that I'm like, oh, yeah, I got these two fights picked. I'm right. Nobody else has seen this card the way I am. And then,
I mean, Kyoichi Horiguchi tapped to an armbar from Demetrius Johnson at 4 minutes and 59 seconds of the very final fifth round. The difference is that was a fight he was losing.
He was losing anyway. Yeah, he was getting dominated. Yeah,
dominated. Like, this is a fight you're winning, dude. You had to have heard the clap because the clap came off or went off before he slapped the triangle on you.
Yeah, it was like clap, clap, clap. And position, hold the arm, kick up. It was like you had 2 seconds. I've got 8 seconds I can hold on to this triangle.
And if you were going to go – and if you went out, you were going to go out after the bell sounded.
Yeah, even if you passed out, by the time the referee would have noticed you were asleep, it would have been over. And you would have won friggin' 25-30. Like, it would have been over with.
It would have been done. You would have gotten the decision victory because you may have gone out after the bell, but the bell sounded. You won.
Yeah, you could have gone out just before the bell, but no one would notice.
Oh, my God. And the sad thing is he's Russian, so he's probably going to get killed.
They were saying he was the first person to be awarded a master's in mixed martial arts.
That's crazy. That's
that one
apparently it was a mistake, but
a master's and tapping with 1 second left in a fight.
Oh my God, man, he had 1 second to survive. Like,
yeah, that one sucked.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations. Hey, Paul Craig, congratulations, man. You live to fight another day. You might even become infamous from this, to be honest.
Paul Craig, yeah, that might be something. Hey, the guy that the latest finish in a fight.
Who was down like 2-10-8 rounds, possibly. And then I got to see the judges' scorecard for that. Somebody's got to post that eventually. I got to see it. Got to see how the judges scored that fight leading up to that.
And that's funny is there were two fights on this card that were stopped at 14:59. Two cards.
But at least one of them, I can see.
One of them was stopped.
And I could see why. I mean, regardless of time, the ref made a wise decision at this. I was pissed because it fucked my perfect pick, but...
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I had Edwards' decision. We're talking Leon Edwards versus Peter Sabata. And Edwards...
Great fight, in my mind. Edwards I enjoyed it.
That fight. Yeah, it was a fun fight. Edwards was winning that fight. There was great grappling exchanges. That was a really fun fight. Like, really, really good top-notch creation of scrambles, capitalizing on those creations, countering. One of the most fun grappling fights I've seen in a long time. Yeah. Edwards comes away with the TKO victory at 4:59 in the very last and final third round.
How many minutes and seconds total is that again?
14:59.
Okay, just check. All right.
Don't fuck with me on math, bro. But, yeah, no, that was a fun, good fight. And stop it or not, I think Leon Edwards wins that fight. If it would have gone to decision, he dominated that fight too. But
well, yeah, it was a great fight. And, yeah, Edwards, I had him by decision as well. I think a lot of people did. He's on a 5-5 win streak now. But let's get to the meat and potatoes of what is the most interesting part about this fight.
Yummy in my tummy.
The end of this fight. The post-fight interview. Leon Edwards.
Yeah, good call out.
Calls out Darren Till, dude, for the Liverpool main event. And you know what? If Ponzinibbio is not ready to fight Till, because that's my pick for that fight, for that main event, yeah, do it. I'm cool. I'm down with it. I'm down with it.
I think Leon Edwards gets starched. I don't think that
very
he's going
to
be
possible, but here's the thing. Here's why I love MMA. If Leon Edwards gets him down, what happens? We don't know about Till's great how good his grappling is, at least on a high level.
Rumor is that he lived in Brazil for a little while, and he did some Brazilian jiu-jitsu training out there.
Yeah, well, so did Mackenzie Dern to help earn her UFC debut. So,
No, where she should have spent some time in Thailand for a couple of years and learned how to strike. That would have helped her in that fight.
But you know what? He's calling him out, though. He's calling it. Nobody's wanting to fight Till. Till's been challenging people left and right.
Nobody wants him.
Nobody wants him. Apparently, Kobe Covington,
who not wants to take it,
wants to wait. Wonderboy said it doesn't make sense. Leon Edwards wants him. And you know what? I love Darren Till, but I'm going to root for Leon Edwards against that fight. I love the underdog. I do. So
I like that. That fight could be fun, but I just don't think that. Look, Darren Till's top five. Darren Till's one of the best welterweights in all the world right now, man.
You know, we talked about this off the show, off air, whatever, off the record. And we both love Darren Till. We predicted the week before that he would starch Donald Cerrone. It wasn't going to be close. It happened.
Yep.
It's MMA, bro. And Leon Edwards has the grappling chops. Obviously, I mean... The Sabata. I mean, if you don't have the grappling prowess that he has, you get tapped out by Sabata in that fight.
Yeah, everybody else does.
Everybody else. So he's got the chops. If he can get Darren Till down, it makes things interesting. It really does. And that's why I want to see it. Because you put a Darren Till against a Ponzinibbio, that's a striking battle. I think Till wins that fight.
It'll be a fun striking battle, but I think Till wins that fight against
Gunnar Nelson. That's a striking battle. As good as Nelson's jiu-jitsu is, he's not known for his takedowns. Leon Edwards has takedowns. He does. He's shown it in all of his last couple of fights. You know, even with Albert Tumanov, with Brian Barberina. So he's got the takedown. That's what makes it interesting to me. A lot of people don't see it because they look at rankings. Wins.
That's what I'm gonna kind of fall back on. Not that I think the ranking system is worth a.
That's how good that is.
That's good. Excuse me. I don't think the ranking system is worth a bag of shit. But
yeah, that's true.
If Till gets in there and goes up against a guy like Leonard, who we know is good, who I think is gonna get starched, but I still think it would be it's an interesting fight, right? People who don't know Edwards, he goes in there and he gets starched by Till, and they go, eh? So what?
Yeah.
Great guy starts nobody. What does that do for Till? And that's the problem. Is he needs that's to get one point. Of those pussies that are. I'm not calling him a pussy because they're pussies in his mind. Hey, why don't you fight me, Wonder Boy? Why don't you fight me, Colby Covington will get his ass whooped.
Well, so here's my thing. This is how I see it playing out in the welterweight division. I made comments before online. When it comes to the welterweight division, when it comes to basically all the welterweight 1 through 10, and I'm going to be completely honest, 1 through 10. They're all at least 3 through 10. They're all 3A, 3B, 3C. Seriously, that's how close the talent level is. Literally.
Yes, I agree with you there.
It is a stacked top 10 division.
Absolutely.
So, and here's how I got it shaken out in my mind. I fantasy booked some of this stuff in my mind. You do Woodley versus RDA. I'm sorry they said RDA and Robbie Lawler was for the next title shot. Hold to that because it gives RDA the chance to become a two-division champion. You do not pass that up. On any fighter, you give them that accolade.
Yeah.
Or at least a chance for it. And in my mind, RDA wins that fight. I am high on RDA. I think he's one of the best in the entire world. So you do that fight. You do Wonderboy versus Covington. They're the next closest in the rankings. He beat Maya.
Yeah, but Covington doesn't belong there.
It doesn't matter. He's there. Maya. He's there. He's there. It doesn't matter. He's there. And if he and you I'm know what? And then you know what? Matt Brown took down Wonderboy at will and managed to win that fight in a decision. Covington could try to replicate it. Do I think Wonderboy's improved since then? Absolutely. Do I think Wonderboy wins that fight? Absolutely. But
does Covington have better wrestling?
It doesn't matter.
Than Matt
Covington,
Brown.
Covington, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. He does. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. But you got to give Covington that fight. Rankings wise, at least you got to give him that fight. To at least prove that the Maya thing wasn't just because Maya was old and tired and gassed. Give him the chance to prove it. You do Till versus Ponzinibbio in my mind.
Okay.
Till 7 in the UFC rankings, Ponzinibbio is 9. I believe that's how they shake out. Yeah. So that's what you do.
I'm on board so far.
Yeah. So there's what happens. I think RDA wins the fight. RDA fights the winner of Wonderboy and Covington. The loser. Okay, right?
Okay.
So Woodley, if he loses that fight, takes a fight with somebody like Masvidal, who's on also, you know, coming off a loss, looks, you know, it's a good, tough fight that Masvidal's been wanting. You take the loser of Wonder Boy and Covington, you have him fight the winner of Till Ponsonibio, and then the person gets the winner gets the next title shot. Because I think personally,
whether
you agree with Covington being ranked number three or not, in my mind, when it comes to number three and up, 3-2-1 and all that, they should only need one win to get a title shot based off their ranking. That's my thinking. Their ranking justifies it.
Sure. No, I can't argue with that. I can argue what my opinion is on the outcomes. I don't think RDA beats Tyron.
That's fair.
But that's fine. I don't, I mean,
I'm not
that's,
confident. That's a, I'm like, yeah, eight, it, I'm like 70-30.
Yeah. Right now I'm not feeling it. I'm like 60-40 Tyron. Tyron wins. I think Covington gets his, gets pieced apart in a decision loss to Wonder Boy. And then that puts us in the situation. You don't do Wonder Boy.
Okay.
Tyron
so in that same situation, then you take Wonder Boy. I posted this online before, and I gotta find the post. I actually did think about that if Wonder Boy does win that fight, then you put him versus the winner of Till versus Ponzinibbio.
And then he
and
wins.
And then
that
if
fight,
Wonder Boy wins that fight, you can't deny him the title shot.
Truly earned that trilogy.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking. After Wonder Boy beats Covington,
I forgot about that part, but I did post that. Yeah, so you jogged the memory.
Yeah. I want to apologize.
Which is probably
for that.
The most jogging you've ever done. Oh, bitch.
I used to be an athlete, motherfucker.
What'd you say, a mathlete?
No, an actual athlete, like the real kind. I played high school football. I once scored zero touchdowns in my entire career.
Well, Al Bundy scored four touchdowns in one game, so I'm sure you were trying to make that joke about that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because he scored four touchdowns. I've scored none in my whole career.
I get it.
But I did break records as a pole vaulter, and I was pretty fast for a white gentleman in the 200. Dude, I was once an athlete. Now I'm a fat, tubby father.
Why am I
not
surprised that you broke records when it comes to poles?
Because nobody can jump on them like me. We all know that shit.
Love it. Let's talk about a couple of good finishes tonight, man.
Well, let's talk about one that made me want to cry.
Which one?
Yeah, that's what you're getting into.
The Danny Roberts or Danny Henry?
Danny Roberts.
You picked Oliver Endcap.
I did.
Oh, that's fine. You know what? He was another one of those prospects coming up.
Yeah.
Have never picked against Danny Roberts in his entire UFC career.
You shouldn't. He's a great fighter, but I just felt that Endcap, he's doing all the right things. He's going all over the world, training with the best guys.
Well, he kind of screwed me on the Mike Perry fight and the Nordine Talib fight. So you're mad
at him?
Well, I mean, I'm still going to pick him, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oliver Endcap's he's a good fighter, man. But, I mean, Danny Roberts is just.
On another level?
Yeah, I mean, there's levels of this shit. I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, he's just. Endcap is going to get better. That's for sure. This loss is going to help him.
Of course it will.
But
he's a great fighter.
But he was knocked the fuck out.
He was knocked the fuck out.
Kind of like Verdun when he got knocked the fuck out in the main event. But
no, this is worse, dude. He got knocked out, just knocked out. Just
it was bad.
Nighty night, bro.
Nighty night. And then hot chocolate gets another victory. Congratulations, UFC. I think his UFC record might be sitting at like 6-3 or something like that, which is actually pretty decent. Danny Henry in the featherweight division just absolutely halts the hype train of Hakeem Dawodu. Jesus, this was Danny Henry is an underdog, dude. He came in and absolutely starched Dawodu in 39 seconds.
He was ripping his head off. Did you pick Danny or did you pick Hakeem?
Oh, I picked Dawodu, dude. Hell yeah,
picked
Dawodu.
Everybody did.
He's a beast.
He got slept.
As soon as he got hit with that right, and then got caught in the guillotine, and Danny Henry was not letting go, it was pretty much over.
That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful.
I loved
it. Danny Henry snuck the arm in, was working for the guillotine, got the standing,
and
got the
adjusted,
high elbow.
He adjusted the elbow. Just, he adjusted
oh,
on the guillotine.
The high
yeah.
elbow. He was just digging it, and I'm like, oh, fuck. He's going to go to
– He's done. He's going to sleep. And he was going to sleep. Did you see the tap? It was like
– Yeah.
He was, super slow, dude. He was going to sleep. And honestly,
that's what Nikolov should have done. As he was falling asleep, he should have fallen on a tap, man.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing, though. To me, the hype train's not stopped. I still think Duwadu is a beast.
He is.
Caught. He got caught. Everybody gets caught.
Gets caught in MMA, man. It's not boxing.
Unless you're Khabib Nurmagomedov, but
nope. A valid point, man. And what's funny is I've been on the fucking lead locomotive of the Tony hype train. I've been a Ferguson, El Cui, and I'm watching stuff and I'm looking at stuff and I'm watching highlights and I'm watching film and I'm slowing it down.
Say it.
I am literally on the fence as of right now.
But wait a second. So you've been watching some videos this whole week, because last week you were all on the Tony train.
I've been on the Tony train.
I know, but you were saying Tony's going to win. Now you're on the fence, watching videos.
but look, part of my
second. I like how we keep coming back to this, because goddamn, that's in like 3 weeks or something.
I know. Well, it is Christmas for MMA hardcores. And Christmas has been pulled out from underneath of us three freaking times.
Hold on, real quick. We apologize for this interruption of UFC Fight Night London Verdun versus Volkov review to bring you a quick preview of UFC 223 Ferguson versus Khabib. We now bring you to Robert and Joe. Continue.
I don't know. I lost my train of thought. So for three times, us hardcore UFC, or not UFC, MMA fans, UFC fans, we've been chomping at the bit for this fight.
I'm so excited.
The first time it was announced, like, yeah, these great up-and-comers, oh, they get hurt. Well, since they've come back from injury, look at where they're at now. Oh, my God, it's going to be great. And then it gets pulled out. Oh, my, they just keep getting better and better. It's this mega train
it
of
it can't happen again. Don't jinx it. It cannot happen again. I swear to fucking everything that is holy in this life, and I don't even believe in that shit, that if fucking – if there is a God, this fight fucking happens.
This fight doesn't happen. This podcast is over.
I'm done. I'm quitting out of protest.
I'm going to get rid of this beautiful thing that we do every week, and it's no longer going to exist if that fight falls through.
Oh, my God.
But you just think about the skill set. And, again, I go back to you can't train for Tony. But then, so let me watch Khabib.
You can't train for Khabib.
Khabib trains to pick you up and smash you. I don't care what you do.
He's a wrecking machine.
Do whatever you want. I'm going to place you on the ground and pummel you. I'm going to pass your guard. I'm going to get in the half guard. I'm going to tripod up and pummel you. You'll get me back in guard. I'll pick up my base. I'll drop elbows. I'll slip into side control, and I'll pummel you. Dude. I don't know what's happening, dude. I don't know what's happening to me as a El Kakui fan, but – it's not that he doesn't have all the same skills that I thought he did. It's just the more and more I'm watching Khabib, but maybe it's because I've only been watching Khabib. I haven't been watching Tony highlights. I've been trying to see how Khabib beats Tony, so I've been watching a lot of Khabib. So maybe that's influencing me, but fuck, bro.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that people – okay, I love that we talk about this fight because I'm so fucking excited. But we got two shows after this in between this fight that I'm so excited
about. We'll talk
about
it two more times.
We're gonna keep repeating the same thing, and that's why this fight is so amazing. This is the – in my mind, I don't care about the excitement of stuff like Randy Couture returning to fight Tim Sylvia, which was amazing in my mind, especially
great.
When the fight
that was
happened.
So fun.
BJ Penn versus GSP part two, when champion versus champion – Conor versus Eddie Alvarez, champion versus all those fights, you know, everybody's looking forward to, everybody's loving, you know, but nothing in my mind compares to Tony Ferguson versus Khabib Nurmagomedov for the lightweight championship. And
that's what makes
it's going to be
better.
The lightweight
it's for the
champion
belt now, not contendership, but for
it's going to be
freaking
it's going
belt.
To be for the belt. And honestly, I'm so excited, but. And I love Tony Ferguson. I love the man so much. I love him as an Ultimate Fighter. My friend and I took pictures of him at a Sparstar MMA in Hollywood down there and all that. My friend spilled his beer, replaced the beer while I was taking a picture. Yeah, he accidentally did it when we were trying to take pictures. And then I ended up talking to Tony Ferguson afterwards, him and his wife and all that. He's a really good
guy. He's a great guy.
He told me, he's like, you know, because we were talking, he's like, you seem to know a lot about the sport. I was like, dude, I follow it like an Errol Hawani type. He's like, who do you think I should fight next? You know, he was coming off that injury, and it was the loss to Michael Johnson. I was like, you know, a great fight would be Nate Diaz, honestly. He's like, dude, you know what? My manager said the same thing. Obviously, that fight didn't happen, but that's what he said to me, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyway, but here's the thing, though. I love Tony.
Love but Tony. It's everything about the guy.
Nurmagomedov. The eagle is out, and I'm gonna quote this verbatim right now. In a sense, you need to listen and understand. The eagle is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear, and it absolutely will not stop ever until Tony is dead.
By the way, that wasn't rehearsed. That wasn't rehearsed.
I love The Terminator. I think it's one of the best movies of all time. Kyle Reese is one of the best characters of all time.
That is literally what's happening.
Yeah, cheers. Everybody has to know that line. I'm glad you got it. That's what's going to happen, man. It's Habib is the Terminator. The Eagle is the Terminator.
Oh, man. Again, I'm going to start watching more Tony fights. I've been watching Khabib because I'm trying to say, okay, how does Khabib win? Well, it's obvious. Pick him up, smash him. Okay, so how does Tony do against pick him up smashers? I can't think off the top of my head he's fought any pick him up smashers. But I want to go back to I'm going to start from tough on. I'm going to try to see how he handled it. We all know he's got a great back game.
Tony's game has just evolved so much from tough, especially his hair game. He got rid of that stupid bleached fucking hair.
Yeah, that's one of those things that a lot of Hispanic gentlemen in Southern California were doing for a while. Bleaching their hair. I don't know, between like they were surfers, or maybe Tony is a surfer. He does live on Costa Mesa, I believe.
Excuse me.
Bless you. But that aside, man, that's exciting. Next week, I'm probably going to come back and be like, bro, I'm back on the Tony train because I've been watching all Tony's fights and seeing what he does. But right now, I'm literally right on the fence.
Well, next week, we're going to ask somebody about it. We'll get to that at the end of the show. So
okay.
We'll definitely ask him. We'll get a third perspective on this, how he thinks it goes. Can't wait. Like excited. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. Let's get back to this real quick.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a judging decision. Yeah.
Good one.
Obviously, everybody's looking forward to Tony versus Habib. That's why we keep talking about it on every single episode. And we will continue to talk about it on every single episode until this fight happens. So. Tom Duskenwaugh. Duskenwaugh, as Bruce Buffer would say, but I think it's Duskenwaugh, defeats Terian Ware by decision, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Real quick. Yeah.
What?
Right? 30-27? Not a fucking chance in hell.
What?
Personally, in my mind, and a lot of people, I scored that 29-28 Terian Ware. And I picked Duskenwaugh to win that fight.
As did I.
Ware won that fight. Second
and
third round.
It was a close fight. Second and third round. He dictated what, when, and where things happened. Duskenwaugh was working on some counters. What I was impressed with was his leg strikes. Those were fun.
Really good. Great. Absolutely.
But they didn't seem to slow Ware down at all.
Ware was like a pit bull just charging in, man. Like a bull just charging into the red cape of the Matador, man. But except that the Matador wasn't able to get out of the way. Duskenwaugh looked really good in the first round, and obviously he won round by sticking and moving, uses his creative strike in his jab, his leg kicks, like you were alluding to.
Finishing all his combinations with that power leg kick.
But about a minute and a half, 2 minutes into the second round, Ware got his timing.
Mm-hmm.
He timed it. Actually, towards the end of the – I'm going to take that back. Towards the end of the first round, Ware was – he timed Duskenwaugh.
Yeah, he found his timing towards the end of the first, started capitalizing shots. It. Yeah, started capitalizing on it about 2 minutes into the second. Yeah. And like you're saying, those body shots were paying dividends and slowed Duskenwaugh down.
Big time.
Ton. Again, MMA fighters are just now starting to
and
really.
And Dan Hardy was saying, I think he needs to move up, he's got a large frame for this. No, the weight cut's not affecting his gas tank. It was the body shots from Ware.
The body shots, yeah. and with all due respect, Dan Hardy is a man who knows what he's talking about. Weight cuts do affect the gas.
But I'm going to disagree with him on this point.
Body shots of this fight in particular.
Yeah.
On that quick note, just so you can change our graphic there.
Oh, my God,
there.
Sun's going down here real quick. You have a light on. Hold on. Sun's going down.
I'm switching over.
Real quick. I got to turn on a light.
Why is this unplugged? Coffee stout.
All my lights are unplugged right here.
Did you forget to pay the bill again?
I think so, but I'm going to turn on another light. Hold on.
Sierra Nevada, coffee stout, a cup of joe and bold beer that are both cold weather companions. So we blended them for the ultimate warmer. Our coffee stout is an infusion of dark roasted malts and rich cold brewed coffees for layers of bittersweet, fruity, dark chocolate, and caramel.
Are you reading the label?
No, that was off the top of my head.
You
just the way I feel about
bitch.
It. The way I feel about the
yeah
they're not
yeah
a
yeah
coffee stout.
I'm sure you read the label because it said Cup of Joe. You purposely wanted to be able to say Cup of Joe on the show.
Of course I did, and I shout out. Everybody likes a little bit of Joe in their mouth.
I'm glad you're doing that because I'm finishing my first beer, and I'm jumping on to my second. Ladies and gentlemen, the second beer of the show, Smog City Brewing Company's The Nothing.
What?
The
is
Nothing. That's the name of the beer.
Is this
right
a reference? Is this a childhood movie reference? One of my favorites of all time?
Are you trying to say I'm nothing? No, I'm just... No, this is
the never-ending story, man.
That is right, The Nothing. That is right. Dude, you caught me on that. As soon as I said something and then you're like, no, I was like, cut, clicked.
Yes, Stockholm, we ride.
Oh, sad.
Atreyu!
This is the Nothing from Smog City Brewing Company, double chocolate imperial stout out of Torrance, California, as my second beer.
T-City, dog.
I'm
doing one of these things. T-City.
I don't want to hear about T-City right now.
T-City.
Hey, I like T-City a lot, but I'm still very upset about the Frankie loss.
It's just funny.
Not that he lost, just that the way he lost. That's all.
Yeah, but it's not. Look, dude, I'm surprised as anybody that he got TKO'd by Ortega. I believed Ortega was going to win, but not like that. Cheers.
I got a little too much head. That's my fault.
Hey. You never have too much head.
Ooh, even the head tastes good. Come on, Joan. I set you up there. Nothing?
Got my mouth full of fizzy stuff. Once again, this is not a rated PG podcast. This is rated R for retarded.
Hide your wife, hide your kids.
Yeah. Rated R for reckless abandon and
that's
joy.
That's why at the beginning of the show, the intro says general douchebaggery. We are douchebags.
You got to use a screenshot of what I just did right there. And I was like, yeah. I was like, perfect. You got to find that one for this week's screen cap. It was beautiful.
I would have until he said something. Come on, don't ruin shit. No, I will. No, I like this.
That's what I do.
Friend of the show, though. Friend of the show. The Raging MMA podcast.
Yes.
Mr. Kajan Johnson. I'm sorry. Kajan Johnson? Doesn't have the same ring to it, but they said it was Kajan. No, I'm sorry. Hey, Kajan, sorry. I'm going to stick to Kajan. It rhymes with Raging. Unless you want to be called Rajan Kajan.
Rajan.
It's French. Anyways, Kajan Johnson defeats Stevie Ray by a split decision. A decision I actually completely agreed with. Anybody
perfect.
That picked Stevie Ray to win that fight, I get it. It was close. It was a good fight. It was fantastic. You judged it based off the end of the second round and the third round. You completely ignored the 4 minutes of the second round that happened before the end and the first round. Now, a lot of people out there, I want to get this off my chest real quick. A lot of people out there were saying that
he
did nothing but run. No, that's not running. That's called sticking and moving and causing your opponent to miss.
He's a counter striker.
Yeah.
So same people are going to be like, Tyron Woodley runs.
And once again,
I'm not the biggest Seawood fan,
London is under the new rules, unified rules, the new unified judging rules, everything like that. Kajan Johnson dropped Stevie Ray in the second round, regardless of, and he had top control for pretty much 4 minutes afterwards.
Yep.
Whatever Stevie Ray did afterwards when he got up in the last minute
was negligible,
unless he drops him again, then you have an argument, but he didn't,
or he pieces him up and just unloads on him at will, just but
which is what Stevie Ray did against Joe Lozon,
correct?
You know,
and I'm a Stevie Ray fan.
I am too, I love Stevie Ray, I'm a big Stevie Ray fan.
I'm a Kajan, I'm just calling Mr. Johnson. I'm a Johnson
Let's
fan as
Raging.
Well, but yeah. The previously aforementioned once before known as the Raging.
Yeah.
Join that
there? Yeah, that's right. They said that he dropped the Raging part.
Yeah.
That means he's got to switch his whole Twitter handle and his podcast name.
Whatever, dude.
Raging
that's
MMA.
His own
he can't be that if he's dropping the nickname. I'm going to ask him about that. We're getting him on the show soon, dude. He's a good friend of the show.
Yeah, we'll get him on. I lost my train of thought. Fuck.
Not surprised.
The reason I picked him over Stevie Ray, because I like both of them. I think they're both great fighters, was that Stevie took it on short notice.
Yeah, of course.
So when that happens, it's like, it's tough. Is he going to be able to keep the pace that he normally keeps? He's always in shape, but he's in fight shape. I just didn't think he'd be able to keep up with Cajun's movement. And when you're – it was funny, is even though Cajun's backing up, his movement's so awkward, it puts you on the defense because you don't know where he's going or what he's doing.
He uses his reach. Hold on. I'm gonna take a page out of Joe's playbook here. He uses his footwork.
Ooh,
his distance management.
That's right.
Head movement, angles, right? All that good stuff you're talking about. He uses it so well, and he used it really well today against a very dangerous striker in Stevie Ray,
very
who has
dangerous.
The power to hurt. And the thing is, though, he also used it and was able to avoid a loss when it comes to – he was injured. He looked like he was injured in this fight. He was limping. He might have popped something in that knee.
Yeah.
MCL, maybe MCL. Which
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm hoping it's MCL over ACL, personally. I'm hoping. Yeah. But this, honestly, this puts Cajun Johnson on a 4-fight win streak in the UFC lightweight division. Stevie Ray was a top 15 fighter. Obviously, Johnson's going to move in the top 15, but this is good for him. And you know what's even better for him for the fact that he was able to do this? He's one of the biggest guys associated with the Project Spearhead, with the union for the fighters, right? The MMA, the fighter union for MMA fighters, for UFC fighters.
The MMAAA?
Yeah.
Or
so Project Spearhead and all
fighters
that,
along
with Leslie Smith.
Yeah.
You know damn well that the UFC will cut him any chance they can fucking get.
Good. Make that. I mean, not for him. That sucks. He'd be a martyr. But it's kind of like, oh, really?
Well,
because
I mean,
he will be
a martyr. That's the thing. That's good. That's actually pretty good. I think that's why they don't cut him.
Yeah, because he'd be a martyr. Because that you can't, like, if your business, I work for a non-union company.
As do I.
But if the union wants to come in and they want to hold votes, and you as a boss start firing the people that do that, that's not good.
It's not
that's
good. Regardless that's, if the UFC wants to try to say they're independent contractors. Yeah, in a sense.
But they're teetering on that line, and even if they are independent contractors, there's nothing that can stop these contractors from organizing. Maybe not associating. I don't know if union is the right word, because like baseball players aren't in a union.
And honestly,
or an association.
I don't even think in this country, period, like independent contractors. I'm pretty sure that they're still protected under the right to unionize.
So, 100%. Yeah. But I don't know if it's technically "quote unquote" a union. They have their protected right to collectively bargain.
Yeah, exactly.
I think union is employee. That's why I think it's different. Like baseball.
I know, like situations like California. At least in California, in my mind, I don't know about the rest of the country, that you can't be fired legally. Legally, you're right. You can't be fired for discussing your pay with other employees. You know, some people probably be like, don't tell so-and-so how much you make and all that. But if you do and they find out, they can't be like, well, fuck you, you're fired. Well, fuck you, I'll sue you. You can't be fired for that. You know, I know California's a right-to-work state. You could be fired for any reason except for these protected reasons. So,
if you can prove that that's why you were let go, then there's a big lawsuit up for the employer and all that stuff.
But to unionize, basically, to form collective bargaining.
Collective bargaining.
As far as my knowledge goes, that is a 100% federal right.
Correct.
So.
Correct. And look, I'll be outspoken right now and say that I think unions have served a great purpose for this country. They've done a lot.
They're not what they used to be.
Yeah, they've given us all the labor laws and some of the great things that we have right now, the protections that we have. But I think some things outlive their usefulness.
Just had to fuck with your train of thought.
I'd fuck you hard.
Would you fuck me? Everybody on the audio is not going to get what the hell is happening right now. Okay, enough.
That was the best moment on all of the internet in the history of ever, and our 16 fans are going to be the only ones that see that shit.
I can't believe you did the dance.
How can I not? I'd fuck.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
One of the greatest scenes in one of the greatest movies of all time. Everyone wants to talk about Fabba Bees. That's nothing compared to that.
The dance. Oh, fuck. And the broadcast.
Yeah. Make sure you know what minute of the show this is.
Oh god, I loved it. That's gonna be the thumbnail for the show.
Yeah, it's better than my.
Fuck, I love it. All right, okay, continue on about your union spiel.
You got to keep insulting me because it brings up my game, makes me want to step it up a touch.
Is that all I had to do to make you entertaining?
I guess that's all it took. Insult me a touch, and now I got to defend my ego here.
I'm gonna talk shit every episode then.
Yeah. No good. Just open it up that way because you end up doing it anyways. Yeah, that's great. But I think, again, I'm not a huge fan of unions. I think they outlive their usefulness. But I think they can find a use in collectively bargaining for these athletes. I never understood why baseball players, football players, basketball players were in a union. They're multi-million dollar making sons of guns. I don't get it. Well, they used to be like the UFC. They used to be underpaid for what they sacrificed for their job, their profession. And now I get it. I get why there's a union or an organization or an association for these professional athletes. And I think MMA fighters deserve one too. All MMA fighters. From the small all the way up to the top.
100% agree. Here's the thing I will say though. Here's the thing I 100% agree. I was still kind of laughing about everything. 100% agree. I'm 100% in support of Leslie Smith, Cajun Johnson, and everybody else that's like trying to fight for a unionization of fighters. I think fighters should get their fair share. I'm 100% in support, and we both discussed this on the show before, of the Ali Act being expanded to include MMA fighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wayne Mullen, dude, he made a great fucking argument on the Senate floor with against what's his name, fucker's name from the UFC. He used to be part of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Can't remember off the top of my head because I've been drinking.
Bob something, right?
Nope, something not like Bob. That. Anyways, whatever. I'm sure I could just go on the computer and Google it right now, but I don't want to
Google machine
the Google machine and fraud it out. But yeah, I'm in total support. At the same time, right now, there's no union. So a lot of fighters that complain about the pay, it's like, hey, you know what? I get it. You don't sign the contract. Until you get this union worked with and done.
Yeah.
The UFC is the UFC's. Like, it's their money. You just don't sign the contract. Go with Bellator or, you know, PFA. Is it PFA? PFC?
PFL? Professional Fight League?
Yeah, PFL.
PFA is the Professional Fighting Association, which is another union like Randy Couture was involved in.
Yeah, but PFL is WSOF.
Correct.
Thing. Yeah, which,
it's Ray Sefo.
Yeah, Ray Sefo, which is a great guy who treats his people right. Scott Coker treats his people right. Yeah. You know, go fucking join them, honestly.
But
until
then, that's the thing, though. If you're a mid-tier Bellator fighter, you're making less than a mid-tier UFC fighter.
But you still
fighter.
Have the sponsors. You still have the sponsors that you can get, though, that are shown. That is a difference. So if you're not happy with your contract in the UFC right now, fucking leave. Don't look at the UFC now as like, oh, this is the pinnacle of MMA. I got to be in the UFC. You don't have to be in the UFC. Bellator is owned by Viacom. And I'm sorry, Viacom over Endeavor. Zuffa, UFC, anybody. It's fucking Viacom.
No.
So they have
and
the
you make
money.
A good point. I wanted to write this down because I forget shit all the time. But when you talk about sponsors, I was reading an article that stated Rory McDonald made more from his cryptocurrency, his Dash currency sponsorship,
I like it.
than every single person, all of the payout of the Reebok.
Yeah.
Of
on
that
the,
same
the last
UFC
event,
fight
right?
night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all
here's
the UFC fighters
that.
Made less money off Reebok than he made from one of his sponsors.
Here's the thing about that. I like the idea, right? I like the idea. It's cryptocurrency, though. Okay, here's the thing about that. Most likely, that thing is right now in cryptocurrency and all that stuff. Everybody's
it's all
buying.
Pump and dump stocks.
Yeah, it's
I
all
agree.
Pump and dump. So basically, but yeah, he made 200. So basically, what they did is they paid him $250,000 with cryptocurrency, which the next very next day could have been worth $1,000.
Correct.
So I like it. I don't buy into the whole cryptocurrency thing being like the future. I really don't because. No. We live in America, and they're going to fight for the gold standard for the rest of their fucking life. That's just the way it's going to happen.
There is no gold standard. Yeah. The gold standard was gone years ago, fucking decades ago. Well, the thing is, they're going up against the Fed. They're going up against the big, huge institution that's been there fucking forever and is ingrained, the Rockefeller.
It's just not going to happen, man.
We'll get Eddie Bravo on the show, and he can tell us exactly why it would never happen.
I'd love to talk to that man.
And this one, is we keep it away from other wacky conspiracies like Flat Earth and crop dusting overhead with chemtrails. Speaking we can stick to the stuff about the Fed, and I'll agree with him because that makes actual sense. But...
Yeah. Anyways, it's cool that he
the potential is there.
Potential for sponsorship is there. Correct. So if you're not happy with the UFC pay, go sign with Bellator. Try to sign with Bellator. Try to sign with another company. Fight for your rights as a union to unionize, and I will support that right. But if until you do that, you know, UFC is a private company. It's their right to pay you and do whatever they want with you. That's the sad part about it. It really is.
No, 100%. They're going to pay you what as little as they can. Yeah. That's what businesses do.
What they do.
You know, my boss is going to be like, "Hey, Joe, would you like some more money?" I mean, maybe, but I mean, not necessarily. It's like, "Hey, would you like to take on more responsibility?" And with that, I will give you additional pay. But and it's not to knock my boss. I love them. They're great people. But why would
you? Don't love them. Shut up.
I like them. I like them a lot. I really do. They're really good people. I work for a family company. Huh? No,
they listen, don't they?
No, they know I have a show, but I've never shared it.
That they listen, you're gonna be as nice as possible.
No, God's honest truth, I do. If I didn't like where I was at, I'd leave. I've done it before, you know. Found greener pastures, and it wasn't necessarily for more money; it was for better people. But
I know that's why we didn't talk for years.
Better
just
people
took off for better people. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
And then I realized that everyone else is an asshole, so I might as well be friends with my own family.
That's right.
Here we are again with the number 7,452 rated podcast on iTunes. Cheers.
If you just brought that number out of your head and I go on like an iTunes or something like that, and that is the exact number, I swear to God, I will fucking eat your shit. Because that would be amazing. It would be fucking ridiculous.
If we were that high out of all the podcasts, that would be pretty damn amazing too, you know?
I was about to say the same thing.
There's only like 10 million podcasts out there.
I was about to say the same thing.
But if you break it down by sub-genre, sports / MMA / drinking / two hosts, occasional guests, I think we're like 93rd.
Out of like 94.
Yeah. Moving up, dude. We're moving up.
Real quick, okay, great show tonight. Volkov, fantastic main event, right?
Well done. Blachowicz,
fantastic. By the way, real quick, I want to get this out because you forced me to do it the last couple episodes. The winner of tonight's MMA Max UFC Fantasy League is...
Please do.
Yeah,
none other than
one of the nicest people I've ever not met. I only know him through, you know, talking, Facebook, internet, all that good stuff. But he is the contributor to all of MMA The Max's logos, designs, everything. He's one of the people designing the shirts. 100% congratulations and super happy for Duke Hebert.
That's right.
I remember how to pronounce it. Hey, Duke, congratulations, man. You're the man. He is the MMA The Max artist. Duke Hebert, congratulations. You won this week. You won this event. You're the man.
Good job.
Joe. Real quick, before we get into everything, before we leave the show, we got a lot to talk about in terms of one subject.
Which subject is that?
Mr. 7 out of 10. Mr. My Wrestling is 7 of 10. 7 out of 10, according to the interview with TMZ. You know it. I know you. Floyd fucking Mayweather.
No, we weren't going to talk about boxing anymore, remember? What do you mean? We talk MMA on this show.
We did say we weren't going to talk about boxing anymore. That's 100% true. 100%
we're talking about that asshole and that whole thing with the Irish.
This man is in the news lately about how he's going to make his MMA debut and fight in the UFC. And here's the thing.
Who's he
going to
fight?
It doesn't matter. Here's the thing about that fight. It's happening. In my mind, it's happening. It doesn't matter. It's happening.
Hold on, Robert. The UFC isn't going to bring in somebody else that has no MMA fighting skills to fight another person. The UFC would never do that. That would taint the image of where the best fight the best. UFC won't do that.
They already did it once with James Toney. They will do it to prove a point. Here's the thing. We know Floyd Mayweather. I know Floyd Mayweather. Everybody fucking knows Floyd Mayweather, right?
He is a draw.
He's a dick. He's a troll. He's an asshole.
And a draw.
Are you this real quick? Yeah, he's a draw, of course, obviously. Are you this? He's the best boxer in the world today, correct? You can't argue that part. Best boxer in the world. You can't fucking 50-0, 49-0 against boxers, 50-0, whatever.
Give Lemachenko 50 fights.
Bruh.
That's my boy right there.
Just go with me here. Just go with me.
Bruh, it's like a Matrix, man. Okay, I'm
just
go with
me.
Okay,
just follow. Just follow me here.
Because casuals don't know Lemachenko. Casuals know Mayweather. Okay.
Are you trying to apply something that I don't know fucking...
No, you know Lemachenko. You're saying, like, here's the whole world. The whole world is going to say that he's the greatest boxer.
This is Floyd Mayweather. This is the greatest boxer of our generation. That is undisputable in my mind. In our generation. Right now, Floyd Mayweather.
It's a strong argument. It's a very strong argument.
To me, indisputable. And I don't really care for him too much. He knows that he's hated. He knows that everybody hates him. He knows he's not popular when it comes to that. People buy his fights to see him fucking finally lose. Correct?
Yeah, he walks that X-Pac heat. He walks on that line between X-Pac heat
and
being a heel.
It's drawing,
and he's
right?
Good. People walk by.
It's the old WWE model. They like the old school days. They want us paid to watch you lose, right?
Yeah, he's a perfect heel. He's a great heel. He plays that well.
How much do you think? Is she asking how much longer? Is that the woman asking how much longer?
It's all right. We're going to go out for St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, I get it. We're almost done, brother. Almost done.
Yeah.
Imagine you're Floyd Mayweather. You're a millionaire. You know, everybody hates you. You're talking MMA. You're making the MMA talks. Oh, Conor boxed you, but you won't fucking fight him in MMA, blah, blah, blah.
No, he shouldn't fight Conor.
Hold on. If you're that man, if you're Floyd Mayweather, you already know goddamn well you're the ultimate troll when it comes to things.
Sure.
You've secretly been training all these years.
How many years?
Grappling.
How many years has he been training?
He said he's been doing wrestling for like 3 years.
He said he's been doing jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. Yeah, he said he's been doing jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai for fucking like 12 years or some bullshit.
So, okay, obviously 12 years isn't true, but five years? That's a fucking troll job. Dude, seriously, he gets in to the cage, and everybody's like, you're going to get your ass kicked. And then all of a sudden, he's like, bitch, I got you. I got grappling. I got wrestling. And you're like, I fucking hate you more. That is something Floyd Mayweather would do. Now, am I saying that's exactly what's going to happen? No. But tell me that's not something Floyd Mayweather would do.
It's very much within the realm of possibility. So let's say he's got 5 years of jiu-jitsu under him, and with his work ethic and his dedication.
Oh yeah.
Is he a black belt?
No.
He's a purple belt. Maybe a brown belt.
Maybe
a purple belt. Brown belt, depending on who he's under.
Been training like Floyd Mayweather trains. Because let's be honest, he didn't have to train for Conor.
No, he didn't have to, and he doesn't. But he had to train for Pacquiao. He had to train for Canelo. He had to train. He trains. Like he'll be out at the club, his stupid strip club, and he'll be gone at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're running. Like he trains. I'm not. Motherfucker's got a work ethic. No question asked.
Yeah.
So let's pretend for 5 years he's been dedicated and he's been rolling. He's been learning jiu-jitsu. I don't know who he's training under, but let's just say
paid to be a secret.
Yeah, he's a purple belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been getting privates. That's even better. If you're getting privates.
Oh, and he could afford it for sure.
100%.
Lives in Vegas. You know who else lives in Vegas?
Who's that?
Robert Drysdale.
Exactly. My thoughts. Drysdale giving him private, okay? Him and Drysdale training. 5 years.
Five years under Drysdale? Jesus Christ.
He's a legit 5-year Drysdale purple belt. Legit.
Just for fun this whole time.
Just for fun. Let's just say, because he wants to troll, right? He knows what he's doing because MMA's been getting big. There's been this talk that's been going for five years. And
for like, 5 years because he knows he wants to troll, that eventually he wants to make the move like Tony did but show him up. That's a Mayweather move. But yeah,
the thing is with Tony, Tony didn't train wrestling. I mean,
yeah, but he saw Tony got the big payday, went over there to try to expose MMA. This is a ultimate Floyd Mayweather troll job to do this secretly to try to show it up.
What weight division is he going to fight at?
50 or 45.
Let's give 45 because he's a small guy.
Yeah,
I mean he came in
maybe
underweight
55 for Connor to do the Connor fight. I mean,
but Connor starches him within a round. Connor's grappling isn't what's going to win the fight. It's Connor's kicks.
It's kicks.
What does he do with his kicks?
Let's just say hypothetically he's been training how to block those.
He's been training Muay Thai for 5 years too.
I'm just saying. Okay, so
and Connor's been training Muay Thai.
Do I personally think that Floyd Mayweather is going to do shit in MMA? No. If he does book a main event pay-per-view, and God damn it, it will be the main event, whatever he does, he could fight fucking anybody in MMA.
When did Mayweather choose to fight Canelo? At his prime or before the gentleman had a chance to peak? He fought Canelo before he had a chance to peak. When did he finally fight De La Hoya?
Are you sure that Canelo peaked? Because Canelo lost his last fight, but that's not here nor there. He also failed the drug test, but that's cool.
Okay. When did he choose to fight De La Hoya? Before or after his prime?
That's just when the stars lined up.
When did he choose to fight Manny Pacquiao after his prime? He does not take gambles. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't take risks.
The Pacquiao thing, though, is that's a little different. He was going to fight Pacquiao. Pacquiao wanted a certain amount of $1 million per pound that he was over. Floyd said yes, but I want blood testing, and Pacquiao's like, "Nah,
no, thank you."
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's not fucking weird at all.
No, not at all. But look, I get. But my point in this is
I get what you're saying.
Doesn't do things that are uncalculated. He doesn't put himself in a situation.
But he also does things just to piss people off on purpose, like the Pacquiao fight waiting so long. He pissed people off on purpose. If the Pacquiao Mayweather fight happened 3 years earlier, I still would bet on Mayweather.
But he just wanted to piss people off
for years because I think that's just what Mayweather does. He loves doing it. And I respect that because I'm a troll online myself.
you look like one. That's the problem. Can't help yourself. Burn! No, you've been shaving. You've been shaving, bro. You're not so bad.
But yeah, no. So I
We'll talk about this again in a couple weeks.
I personally think that Mayweather is trolling people, and I honestly think that he has been training somewhat this whole
time.
Sure,
absolutely. It helps his troll. He does not step cage in the octagon in 2018.
He does in 2019. Absolutely, 100%.
Talk to me in five months. Let me see.
I'll say it right now. What is the date right now? March 15th, 2017? No, it's 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I'm an idiot. I'm a fucking dumbass. March 17th, 2018. I also said 2017 earlier. You didn't catch that. Good job.
No, I
missed it. March 17th, 2018, MMA to the Max, episode number 34. Robert Taylor is saying that Floyd Mayweather will step into an MMA cage on the 2019 Fight Week show.
Okay.
In July. The International Fight Week show.
I reserve the right to change my mind as we get closer, but right now I do not see how.
When we get closer, you will start saying, "God damn, you're a fucking prophet."
Well, I just don't see how
you're a mystic MMA the Max Rob.
Right, we predict these things.
That's right.
I predict
these things.
I don't see any way where he can win.
It doesn't matter.
He's not going to lose. He's not going to get pieced up. He's not going to get leg kicked to death. He's not going to put himself in a situation to look weak and little.
They bring in a fucking Mike Jackson then, who's 0-1, that they're talking about to fight CM Punk. He'll be 0-2 maybe at the same time. Maybe 1-1.
Mike Jackson
who knows?
Beats the fucking brakes off him in MMA. Shoots
He's
for a double
reporter,
leg.
Dude. We don't know. That's what I'm saying. Floyd Mayweather could have been trained this shit. We don't know. That is the ultimate troll job, man. ultimate troll job, and that's what Floyd Mayweather does. He trolls fans. That's what I'm trying to say. Now,
I know he trolls, but I don't see him fighting in MMA. He doesn't win. 2019. He doesn't win.
2019.
All right. We'll postpone this conversation for future time. In the future.
Okay, how about this? Real quick. Floyd Mayweather fights in MMA before Conor McGregor does.
That bet I'd take.
Really? Because I don't think Conor comes back ever.
Sorry, the other way around. Yeah, that's a bet I won't take.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I agree with you. Yeah, there's more of a chance of Floyd Mayweather.
So everybody that's listening on the show, I'm going to put it out there. $20 right now to the first five people, because that makes it an even 100. First five people that comment on the show or come to me personally and say, I'll take that bet. Floyd Mayweather fights in MMA before Conor McGregor does.
That's
a bet with MMA to the Max, Rob. Take it. Take it or leave it. First five people. Even 100
go
bucks.
Go for it.
$20 a person.
That's an even bet right there, because the odds of both of them fighting in MMA are very slim.
Very slim. But obviously if neither of them fight before the show fucking ends because we get sick of each other, bet's off. But
we can't get sick of each other. We're family. We're going to see each other all the time. We'll just have to learn to deal with it like adults.
No, we're family. That's why we get sick of each other.
Fair enough.
Whatever. Anyways.
Anyways.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 34 in the Max. Next week, episode number 35, a very special episode. I can't wait. It's going to happen on Sunday. We have our very first fighter on the new video episode of our video portion and video whatever of the show. He is the very first fighter to ever appear on the show in the audio version. He's done it twice.
Champ, champ.
Yeah, that's right. The champ, champ. He's done it twice. He's coming on the third time. Third time's a charm. The one, the only, on video, on screen, Titan FC, bantamweight, flyweight champion. What'd you call him again, Joe?
Champ, champ.
Champ, champ. Champ, Jose champ. Shorty Torres. Ladies and gentlemen, can't wait. That's next Sunday. Make sure to look out for it. I'm very excited to have him back come on. Seriously, one of the coolest people I've ever talked to. Personally, ever. Really good guy, man. If you're not following Shorty Torres, you got to follow him out. You got to follow him. Follow him on Instagram. Follow him on Twitter. Everything.
Support Team Shorty. Buy some of his gear. It helps.
We can.
It helps raise money for kids fighting and wrestling.
Team Shorty. Team Shorty. By the way, right there.
Rocking Team Shorty shirt.
That's right.
Like always.
Next week, hopefully, we're rocking the MMM Max shirts.
Ooh, boom.
Hopefully. Send one to Shorty for free because he's the guest.
Yeah. They go on sale. There's a limited supply.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that when we get the shirts in.
Yeah.
Anyways, sure. That's next week on a free weekend. Joe.
Yes, sir.
Real quick. What are you doing for St. Patrick's Day?
The wife and I are going to go out and enjoy some green beer at some places, because that's what we do.
I wanted to get green beer for tonight just for the fuck of it, but fuck it. That's cool. So you're going to go have some green beers? That's good. Happy St. Patrick's
Day. Try to keep it somewhere too close, not too far away, because there's a lot of idiot amateurs on there at tonight. Brought mom over to watch the boys so she can get some grandma time, and the wife and I are going to go out and get some green beer time. You know.
Nice.
What about you? What are you doing?
Nothing.
Video games to the max.
I don't give a snake's ass. Or as one of my friends and I put it before, oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. I don't give a mick fuck.
That was racist, but it was against white people, so I guess it's okay now.
Maybe
Irish Catholic did not apply.
Dude, seriously, I got banned from Facebook for like 48 hours because
that's awesome. You fucking troll.
Yeah, I saw. No, I wasn't trolling this time. I saw a post. Seriously, I saw a post that was it was like hot dog egg rolls.
I saw that. Those look delicious.
Fucking Jesus Christ, dude! Seriously, okay, so whatever. I saw the hot dog egg rolls, and the only thing I could think of was like, fucking white people ruin everything. I swear. And Facebook,
it's white people cultural appropriation of some Asian delicacies of yumminess.
Tell me that anybody but white people could come up with hot dog egg rolls.
No, but why would it be? You're allowed to make fun of white people. That's men in particular. Yeah. You're allowed to bash them.
By the literal definition, a white person can't be racist to another white person.
Well, can't be racist to white people because white people are the root of all evil. White devils.
Just by
white
literal, devils. Yeah. Equinsa Warta. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you're going to if you're going to create and eat hot dog egg rolls, go to hell. Anyways, yeah, white people ruin everything. We do. We ruin everything when it comes to food, at least.
It's hard to argue that one.
Yeah. Like, oh, you made this awesome, delectable dish?
It's more about white
Americans. Let's just throw some fucking cheese on it all over.
It's like white Americans, because white people make some pretty delicious Italian
food.
They do.
They do. But when it comes to other, like, when we bring foods out, it's this Indian dish is so delicious. Let's white it up.
Oh, my God. There's too much flavor on it. Too many spices. Let's dull this down a touch. Put some flour on there. Deep fry it with some sugar. Boom. I can barely taste the curry. That's yummy.
Yeah. Oh, there ain't no Indian about this dish no more. America.
America. Fuck yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you got it. Anyways, yeah, that's why I was fucking banned for 48 hours. Jesus Christ. That was so stupid.
I wonder why my social media scrolling was so peaceful. I didn't realize.
I fucking love it. All right, Joe, let's get your social media out here, man.
Social media plugs. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at JoeHud45. On Twitter, that's JoeHud45. Or you can get a hold of me on Instagram at MMAToTheMaxJoe. And as always, the two is the number two. No spaces.
Wait.
Robert.
Oh, yeah. Scissor me timbers. No. Nice.
You're up, kid.
If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's at itsrockrobster. No apostrophe, obviously. Find me on Instagram at MMAToTheMaxRob. Find the show, MMAToTheMax, on Twitter at MMAToTheMaxShow. Find it on Facebook at facebook.com/MMAToTheMaxPodcast. As always, find our show anywhere you could download podcasts. You can listen to us at iHeartRadio, iTunes. Watch this good-looking video on YouTube, obviously. Find us on Google Play, Spreaker, all the good stuff, Stitcher. You know how to find us. Find us on our parent website of w2mnet.com. Find us, you know, that w2mnet.com is the show, is the website you want to go to find anything that you need when it comes to podcasts or reviews for movies, wrestling, video games, sports, and entertainment. I know a couple of those fell into the same category, whatever. That's just what they say on the fucking tag.
Boom. Tag it up, son.
Check out w2mnet.com group on Facebook. That is supposed to be switched by now. I'm gonna have to talk to the owner. And as always, check out one of the best MMA groups on Facebook of all time, MMA Freaks. Check it out. Just search up MMA Freaks in your toolbar to find it. We need to get you in there soon, actually. You're not in there. We need to get you in there.
I don't think I'm in there.
I don't think you're in there. You're in Craft Brewed. Hey, you know what? Yeah. Fuck it. Check out Craft Brewed Sports Group on Facebook.
That's a good group.
It's a great good group. Hosts. Craft Brew Sports is one of the best podcasts out there, regardless of any sport you're into. I love them. It's one of the most entertaining shows I've ever seen. They have their own group. Share your experiences. Share your sports trivia. Share anything. Share your beers you're drinking.
It's fun for sports and beer. Both of them
mostly
are,
beer. I share mostly
enjoy.
Beer. And most of them have tried the beers I'm finally experiencing. So
yeah, we're gonna go through a nice cattle cave of beers here soon with all these different beer groups and other people we're associated with. We're gonna find some real fun stuff to drink.
Oh, you need to try this beer. Okay,
all right, twist my arm.
Sounds good.
I'm gonna tap to that one.
Oh, and as always, follow us on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. MMA the Max
please
on YouTube.
Subscribe.
Please subscribe. We need 30 subscribers. We get a custom URL. Yes.
Let's do this shit.
Let's do this. Joe,
do you
want a personal Facebook? Or you don't fucking want them following you on personal Facebook. Fuck that
No,
shit.
My personal Facebook is just for family and friends. Instagram and Twitter is where I do
beginning.
My business.
You remember that? We did that in the beginning of the podcast. Yeah. We were giving our personal Facebook away. But... Yeah,
but just follow the MMA to the Max podcast page. That's the best way to get a hold of us, interact with us. And then obviously Instagram and Twitter are where we do our business.
I do want to give a quick shout out real quick at the end, though. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen to Loaded Joe's MMA podcast.
Yes.
Listen
Good
to
podcast.
The Hardcore MMA podcast. Listen to the Raging MMA podcast. Listen to Split Decision MMA podcast. These are good shows that are good friends of the show. Probably better, to be honest. I'm learning from them. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. I'm learning from them. Great shows, great podcasts, great people that talk about MMA. If you're our friends, you listen, or your fans, you listen, just check out these shows. They're great people. So I gotta, you know,
shout them out. They didn't deserve
it. Hey, smaller shows help out smaller shows. We build each other up. That's our thinking. That's how we do it. So
that's right. Boom.
Boom. So, hey, on this note, Joe, happy St. Patrick's Day. Have fun. Drink that green beer.
I'll be safe. I know you're concerned about that.
I don't give a fuck. No.
just so everyone can see it, who's on the show right here, look. It's on. Drink mode is on.
This is going to be the guy that, like, in about 2 hours is going to have his head on the fucking table, passed out drunk.
That is the goal.
That's right. That's right. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day, man. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody else out there. For my co-host, Mr. Joseph Hudson, a.k.a. Riverside Joe, I am Robert Taylor. This has been MMA Max. I probably said like M three times right there. This has been MMA to the Max, episode number 34. We will see you next week with Jose Shorty Torres. Take care.
See ya.
Previous podcast has been an original W2Mnet.com production. For more great content like this, go to W2Mnet.com for the worlds of wrestling, video games, entertainment, and sports.